The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
We're about 24 hours away before kickoff at Soldier Field between the Bears and Cowboys. Thursday night, prime time. Hello, good evening, and welcome inside the network studios here at Hallis Hall. Zach Zaidman alongside Tom Thayer. Pleased to be joined for the full hour by our guest, the Nickelback, defensive back Demontre Hurst. There are a lot of people who are probably about to hear your voice for the first time, Demontre. So give them a little flavor of who you are, where you're from, and how you got here to Chicago.
Demontre Hurst. I'm from Lancaster, Texas. Went to high school there. I was raised in Dallas, actually born in Oklahoma. So I guess I'm an Oklahoma native. Went to the University of Oklahoma 2009 to 12. A couple of Big 12 championships. And came here last year on a free agent. Stayed on the practice squad all last year. And I made the team this year. Things shook out a little bit in the first game, but, you know, I've been back ever since the Jets game, and, you know, now I'm the Nickelback.
Why didn't you go to Texas?
I didn't like Texas, man. I'm straight Oklahoma native. I got a lot of family in Oklahoma, grew up a Sooner, so got my opportunity to be a Sooner, and, you know, I took the chance.
Did Bobby Stoops convince you to go to Oklahoma?
No, he did not.
Really?
No.
Did you know that two of the Oklahoma coaches tried out and played for the Bears?
No, what coaches?
Mike Stoops tried out as a safety here with the Bears, was in a training camp when I was here, and then Jay Norvell was a linebacker with the Chicago Bears and moved around a little bit.
Jay Norvell is a linebacker?
Yeah.
But he's a receivers coach now.
I know. Well, I think that's the thing about coaches is you have an opportunity to expand beyond what your role is. I think that you'd be able to go in and coach slot receivers because you're familiar with slot receiver routes and what they like to do because of where you're playing.
That makes a lot of sense. Being a nickelback, I see big receivers, small receivers, and just kind of getting the role of being a corner and a linebacker at the same time is – I've been learning a lot, you know, in the slot receiver as far as, just kind of what they like to do, the different routes. And, you know, I played a little bit in college also.
Visiting with Bears cornerback Demontre Hurst here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. You know, Tom went to Notre Dame. You went to Oklahoma. Going to a big-time school, does that help prepare you for what you deal with at this level in the NFL?
I believe so. It's, you know, it's different coaches at different colleges that has, you know, NFL experience, that has tried out at least and, you know, just had the opportunity to at least, you know, get a chance. But me going to Oklahoma really prepared me a lot with strength coaches, with, you know, Bob Stoops, who's, you know, well known as a head coach, and just the different D coordinators I had with Mike Stoops and also Brent Venables. I learned a lot. Learned a lot of defense through those guys the 4 years I was there. So it prepared me a lot, you know, just the different coverages that, you know, the Bears run. So mentally I was prepared and physically also.
Did you ever think that Bob Stoops would leave for his school at Notre Dame?
Nah, I don't think he would do that. I don't think he'd do that. It's too much Sooner pride in Bob Stoops, and, you know, he definitely want to keep that tradition as long as he can.
You know, I think cornerback is probably one of the most confident positions in the NFL because whether you're big or small, fast, or you're a technique player, your guys are constantly talking. But then when you think of free agency and be able to make in the NFL, you think of Daron Cherry, Everson Walls, Tre'Mon Williams, Herm Edwards, Sam Shields. These guys are high-profile defensive backs that were all free agents. Why is the most confident position have the ability for free agents to make it at the most confident position?
I believe just going in with a different mindset. I believe that you can, you know, play at this level. And, you know, once you get your opportunity, you want to cherish every moment that you get. So it's a tough battle, you know, being as a free agent. You have to work your way up, you know, to be, you know, to even make the team, to even, you know, get a job on special teams. So, you know, as you're working up, you realize, you know, you learn so much and you know you have the ability. You just have to have that support staff from the coaches and from the GMs to, you know, let them know that you're able to play and you're able to make plays in this league. And, I mean, those guys, you know, they make big plays and, you know, they were something special in the league.
You know, for young people listening, when draft day came and went and all of a sudden your name's in the rearview mirror. What was that like? And did you expect yourself to be drafted higher? On draft day, I always say I was drafted in the fourth round, and I was disappointed because I thought I was going to go higher. Did you think you were going to get drafted? And then what happened right after?
In all honesty, I really did think I would get drafted. Not so much, you know, first, second, third, or fourth round, but, you know, at least fifth through the seventh, I thought I'd be drafted. Things didn't shake out the way I wanted it to, but Chicago, they had contacted me, you know, throughout the whole third day, so it was a lot of interest in them, and they believed, you know, I had a chance on their board, so they didn't pick me up, but they got me as free agent, and you know, it's worked out ever since. You know, I came here, took care of business last year, made the practice squad all 16 weeks, so you know, they felt something was special in me that they liked, and I came back this preseason. Training camp, you know, really worked hard and, you know, took care of business.
It's neat. It's almost like a redshirt year as an adult when you get that year in a practice squad, because when you get a chance to go against a developing Alshon or a mature Brandon or a guy like Martellus and stuff, they kind of tell you the story of your future in having the opportunity to go against these guys in practice.
Yeah, it's you know, in all honesty, it was kind of hard last year, you know, me being a three-year starter at the University of Oklahoma, really kind of sitting back and, you know, not even playing special teams last year. It's kind of like a redshirt year, like you said. So it was kind of hard for me to just, you know, sit back and realize. But, you know, as I played on the practice squad last year, I learned a lot. I learned how to be a pro. I learned how to the different techniques that Tim Jennings and Charles Tillman was teaching me. Like you said, I learned some from Alshon and, you know, Brandon, you know, big receivers that I didn't go against a lot in college. So I picked up a few things, and, you know, it really helped me out, and, you know, it really prepared me to where I am now.
What are the biggest things that you learned from Tim Jennings that you learned from Charles Tillman? Because they're two very different types of corners in terms of their physical build.
Right. You know, Charles Tillman, he's obviously the, you know, turnover master. He's a guy that can get the ball out, very physical.
Does he share the secret?
Yeah. It's just a formula, just, you know, see ball, hit ball, so... Yeah.
It can't be that simple.
It's, in all honesty, you think it's like something, you know, spectacular, but it's really not. It's just a mindset of, you know, you want to get the ball out. So, I mean, he's been preaching that since I got here, and, you know, he's, you know, out for the season, but he's still around and still on the sideline in our area, get the ball out. So, it's just a conscious thing that, you know, that he's teaching each DB, even the coaches are teaching the DBs. You know, get the ball out. So, I mean, from Charles' point of view, it's all about physical, you know, being physical with the receivers, getting in on dog pals, you know, just trying to stick your face in, let your presence known that, you know, you're here, you're going to be physical with them, you know, throughout the whole game.
And Tim Jennings, I think he might be smaller than you. And I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying that really says a lot about his ability, that he's been able to last in the league as long as he has, being a smaller guy.
Yeah, Tim, he's very smart. Small guy, tough guy. Coach Hoke loves him. He's a tough guy. Stick his face in there. And, you know, he's a ball hawk also, so he's a turnover machine on the interception side and on the fumble side. So he's a tough guy, great technique, very smart player. So, you know, just pick up those small things from him.
We got to take a timeout. When we come back, I want to hit on something you said earlier, that you didn't really face a lot of tall receivers in the Big 12. And then last week you faced the best receiver in football, and another one coming up tomorrow in what the Dallas Cowboys bring to the field. We're talking with DeMontre Hurst. We'll find out what you learned from last week, the transfers over this week, on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment is brought to you by Subway. Stop by your local Subway restaurant today and try a flavor-packed double meat sub from the Bears lineup. Limited time only, Subway, eat fresh. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, with Bears Nickelback, DeMontre Hurst out of Oklahoma. Didn't see a lot of big receivers when you were playing in the Big 12. You saw the biggest, some consider him to be the best. I do. I know Tom probably does, and Calvin Johnson, right?
He's got to be one of the best I've ever seen.
And you, unfortunately, had an opportunity to go up against him a lot last week. What'd you learn from that?
I learned a lot. That type of receiver, you have to, you know, really get busy with him. And, you know, Charles was telling us to get physical with him, kind of get him irritated, get him out of his game. But he's a special player, you know, just growing up, watching him in college, you know, he's still doing the same things he's doing now. But you're just a guy you got to get, you know, all 11 players around him and try to be physical with him, get him out of his game. And, you know, just watch a lot of tape on how Charles Tillman played him. And, I mean, he played him pretty well, got physical with him, kept him out of his game, and just played one, probably some of his best football against him.
You know, it's weird. You talk about the physical aspects, especially in the NFL. You have to be physical when you tackle, but you can't be too physical when you cover because there are just so many rules you have to follow. What's been the most difficult in the transition from college to pro? Has it been the tackling and the targeting or the coverage responsibilities?
It's definitely been a little bit of both. The targeting, you know, you got a lot of big backs, a lot of different backs, speedy backs, cutback backs, and just a lot of power backs that you really have to lower your targets on. And even specialists, our coaches always tell us, you know, some receivers are power runners now. Almost they're receivers, but they're built like running backs, so we have to lower our targets on them. And then you have the, the coverage part of it. Like, you know, you can't bump the guy, you know, down the field when in college you can get away with it. Now they'll call you for, legal touching and, you know, 5-yard penalty and stuff like this. So, I mean, that's probably the hardest part as far as the coverage, just not jamming the guy down the field and, you know, getting a penalty, whereas in college you can beat him up almost 40 yards down the field.
You know, I think it's a neat thing that you get to watch Charles Tillman, you get to watch Tim Jennings, because I think Tim brings a more physical approach to cornerback play than Charles, because Charles is such a big body,
right,
and he has great anticipation of how the route is going to be finished, mm-hmm, not necessarily just caught. So, you know, that's the thing about it is Tim Jennings has always lived up to the physical aspects,
yeah,
even though he's a smaller guy. So it's got to be good for you to look at both of these guys to improve yourself.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Tim, a lot of receivers are going to try to big man him up, and him being a little guy, he's probably is a lot more physical than Charles is. Charles is, you know, has a bigger body, like you said, and he's just his presence is being physical with those receivers.
You know, Tim impresses me. And now they sent a couple linemen out, and he has to take a lineman off his feet to make sure he interrupts the flow of a screen. Tim's even is good at that part of it, too, where he is overmatched, but he knows how to attack his opponent properly.
Yeah, he's very smart. You know, you got a lineman coming in, probably going to okey-doke him or knife him or just beat him with speed, whether inside or outside. And, you
offensive
know, and get
lineman,
to
we like to call it being Olaid.
Oh,
because
Olaid.
When you get a defensive back that head fakes and you just fall
on your face
and he's still standing there.
Yeah, we call it okey-doke on our side of the ball. We kind of give this way and go the other way. So, he's a very smart player. He knows how to defeat blocks with guys that's bigger than him and just be physical with him.
I like the hardcore X's and O's football that we're getting here on Bears All Access with nickelback Demontre Hurst. And, you know, the NFL has changed so much since when you played. The nickelback is on the field now more than half the time. That wasn't the case when you were playing, Tom. And it's such a crucial role because you're a hybrid safety, corner, and linebacker when you're out there. What's the simplest way to describe the responsibilities of the nickelback within the framework of the Bears defense?
Well, I think Demontre said it best. As you are a cornerback, you're kind of a safety, and you're also playing at linebacker depth that you could be attacked by an offensive lineman. And you know, earlier in the season, we talked to Isaiah Frye, and then the transition went to Demontre, is you don't have the luxury of having a sideline next to you or not having space at both shoulders. You have to be aware of everything, the ability to do anything, and you have to morph at a moment's notice going from a safety depth to a corner depth to a linebacker depth.
Yeah, it's a nickelback. I mean, we're pretty much all over the field. We can be out by the numbers. We can be as deep as 10 yards, and we can be, you know, at the linebacker depth where it's 3 to 4 yards. So it's everywhere. Like you said, we really don't have, you know, any sideline room except the guy next to us, and, you know, a lot of leverages and tackles has to be made depending on us because we have to either set the edge or spill the ball to either the corner or the linebacker. So we also have to fill the gaps, you know, inside.
You got blitz. I mean,
inside
you
run
got
play.
A little
yeah,
bit of everything.
I mean, it's pretty much put in simplest terms, almost a defense within itself.
But it's good for you because you have the ability to create a position for yourself,
right,
too. There's a lot of requirements, but if you weren't up to the mental requirements, the physical requirements that go behind this job,
yeah,
you know, you'd be on the sideline and not on the playing field.
Yeah, it takes a lot, man. It's, you know, I consider myself still a rookie, but I'm still growing, still learning from Coach Oak, and I learned so much from, you know, Isaiah at the time he was here. Just the physicality, just the mental part of being a nickelback, and, you know, what the Bears defense expects out of a nickelback. So just going throughout the history, you know, coaches brought up Ricky Manning and, you know, DJ Moore, even Kelvin Hay, you know, a couple of good guys that played the nickel position. So I'm just trying to, you know, catch up to those guys, get to where they were, and, you know, just at least, you know, be a big factor in the Bears defense.
The thing that stands out to me, you talked about all those guys, they were all experienced. You know, you don't have a lot of experience right in the league, and I think it's hard enough to play the position when you have the experience. They kind of knew how teams would attack the Bears defense in a game situation, and you're probably playing catch-up just in that department.
Yeah, I mean, it's all new to me, just really being out there, being as a starter, understanding. You know, I understand football, you know, but, you know, just understand what different quarterbacks see, and just talking to Lance and Charles on the sideline at the Detroit game, they was, you know, feeding me some stuff that I never heard of. So,
like what?
Just kind of the type of thrower Matthew Stafford was, where he'll, you know, try to pump fake you, but, you know, that's really not his first read. He'll try to come back to the other side. So, I mean, it's just simple things like that. Just, you know, just trying to be more patient and, you know, get a really good feel for, you know, what type of quarterbacks we're dealing with.
You know, one of the things, the challenges going from college to a pro, is you were a starter in college at a big time program, and you guys are all over the TV. Now you got to come back and you have to make it on special teams. Was it difficult for you, or did you know that coming in, that if you didn't contribute on fourth phase, there probably wasn't an opportunity for you to see the field? And then when you did open the eyes of the coaches a couple times by making big special teams plays, then you started getting some recognition.
I've always heard, you know, coming in, like, you have to make the team on special teams. It didn't really click until, you know, during training camp.
Looking for your name on punt return.
Yeah, you're not getting many reps or defensive reps as you think you should get, or whatever the case may be. But you start realizing the case, and, you know, you really start taking it to heart, like, oh, you know, I might have to make this team by being at least on two or three special teams. So you really got to take that to heart. And I guess this year I took it to heart big time. I found myself on kickoff and on punt and punt return. So those things really helped me get to where I am. I, you know, made a big emphasis in training camp, and I think just the defensive part of, you know, training camp throughout the preseason, I played pretty good on the defensive side of the ball too. So, I mean, it all tied in together, but special teams was absolutely where I'm at.
That's an important lesson, because whether you're drafting the first, second, or third round, you have
right
to have some type of contribution on special teams to get that field recognition.
Yeah, I mean, the young guys, the vets, they put in their time on special teams, and they feel, and I guess the Bears feel, you know, the young guys can really come in and put a lot more speed, not so much experience, but, you know, get those guys out there that's going.
Athleticism,
effort, relentless effort to go out there and just, you know, see ball, hit ball. So that's what it's come down to. We got a lot of young guys on special teams, and we're not the best, but, you know, we're improving, trying to improve each and every game on all four phases. So it's a work in progress, but they got a lot of faith in us.
He's the guy his teammates call D. Hurst. At least that's the nickname I've heard. You might have others. We'll find out.
Ooh,
next
your week. Nickname in the locker room. We'll talk about it next.
Oh, man, I've heard quite a few.
C-Zack.
Yeah.
C-Zack.
Some of them I can say on the radio. This is Bears All Access with DeMontre Hurst, Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuff Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 44 Chicagoland locations for Chicago's favorite stuff pizza, or visit Giordano's.com to order now. Alongside Championship Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears nickelback DeMontre Hurst is with us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. And hey, it's time to decide on the Sports Authority Player of the Game, brought to you by Sports Authority. All things sporting good, and some candidates from that Detroit game. You know, Jared Allen early on had the sack strip, which put the Bears in a position to score. Alshon Jeffrey had a nice game receiving for the Bears. And Kyle Long had a wonderful game, I thought. You know, maybe the best game of his career, going up against maybe the best defensive tackle in football in Ndamukong Suh. So you're a lineman. What'd you think of
what
that?
What stats did Kyle have? Ndamukong Suh is credited with no tackles and no assists in the game. So if you want to look at a performance by an offensive lineman, yeah, Kyle, it was a really good performance by him. You know, Alshon with the two touchdown catches, you know, he was a big threat and, you know, inserted himself. So to me, I have to go with the point score.
Go with the point score. I'm going to
go
with
Alshon.
I'm going to go with the lineman. I think the linemen, they don't get enough love on this show. And I think going up against Ndamukong Suh, that is not easy. Because he was saying he hadn't slept much. He goes from Gerald McCoy to Ndamukong Suh. You know what that's like.
I've never played with an offensive line that one guy's got an award. I played with an offensive line that we all got NFC Player of the Week, the whole line. So it's hard.
We can only give it to one guy here because it is the Sports Authority Player of the Game.
Let DeMontre guess.
All right. What do you think? Alshon, Kyle Long, Jared Allen?
I'm a defensive guy.
the sack strip recovery by Jared is a heck of a play, too. A lot of points on the board in the defensive room for that.
Yeah, I'm a defensive guy. Jared Allen, he's, you know, a great leader, great motivator, and, you know, he's been on high motor for a while now, so we're riding his back.
He was very active on the sidelines talking to you guys throughout the game. Understood that, you know, Jeremiah Ratliff out, Lance Briggs not playing, that someone had to step up and be the vocal leader on the sideline. And he spent a lot of time with the secondary early on in the game telling you guys to stay in it because the pressure would eventually come.
Yeah, he's, I'd probably say, like, the last two games he's been, like, that really in our ears telling us to just hold it for one more second, give him a chance to get to the quarterback, and then we're going to get there with relentless effort. So he's been with us, whether we were losing or winning, he's been over there just telling us to, you know, just stay with it, you know, stay with us. We're going to get there and, you know, just have our back.
Well, I'll go with Jared, player of the game, because I like what Jared said this week when he stepped up to the podium during the press conference after the game. What's expected of these guys during the week of practice and during the games? If anybody thinks that they can come in the NFL and shut it down and they have the luxury of being here next year, not a chance. And I think it was Jared's message to get it out there clear that the same effort is expected of you guys if you're in the middle of a division hunt or if you're trying to get this thing righted in the right direction at the end of the season. So I like what Jared said, and I hope it carried some weight in the locker room.
Yeah, it's even in the defensive room, just the players only meeting. He's been really stepping up, coaching us out, just kind of giving us a little speech about, playing hard, have something to play with, pride to play with, and, you know, just really go out there and just keep competing each and every day. Don't get down on ourselves. It's a long season. We're blessed to be in this position to play the football, play this game. So let's just keep it going. You know, we're going to take it one game at a time.
All right, DeMontre convinced me. Jared Allen is the Sports Authority Player of the Game for his performance against the Detroit Lions, headlined by that sack strip, but we didn't even talk about his leadership, and that's a big part of it as well. So Jared Allen wins the award, because I do think, had I given it to Kyle, he would have shared it with the rest of the line, though.
Yeah, and again, I watched the game closely of the offensive line. Kyle did a really nice job of strength and confidence against Ndamukong Suh. So I don't think if Ndamukong Suh stays in Detroit, I think you could formulate any game plan and feel confident that Kyle could do his job against Suh.
We're visiting with DeMontre Hurst. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Sabin. This is Bears All Access, broadcasting from the Chicago Network Studios inside Halas Hall. Bears Cowboys coming up tomorrow at Soldier Field. And boy, if you're a defensive player, there's a lot that you have to concentrate on when it comes to the Cowboys offense. They're a run-first team, and everyone knows about DeMarco Murray, but they've got a quarterback who can throw it. They've got one of the best tight ends in football. They got one of the best big receivers in football. What's it been like getting ready for this team?
It's been like pretty much how it is I've been all week. It's almost like the Patriots offense. They got an elite quarterback, great tight end, and, you know, a great receiver that can make plays. So it's been a tough challenge. We're going against another good quarterback. But first, you know, DeMarco Murray's really been explosive this year with the run game, and the Cowboys are sticking to the run more this year. So a lot of pressure out Tony Romo trying to make plays down the field. So, but when he gets his opportunity, you know, he's going to put in his guy's hands with Jason Witten and Dez Bryant. So first we have to be committed to, you know, stopping the run first, getting DeMarco, you know, irritated, get him out of sync, and, you know, just really get out the Tony. He's going to try to extend plays, very active, and he's going to try to get it to his playmakers.
You know, being from that area, does the brand of the Dallas Cowboys carry any weight with you?
I'm not going to lie. I grew up as a Cowboys fan, just being in Dallas most of my whole life, and, really supporting them through, you know, all the years, the trouble years, the years they weren't good, the years they were good. So it's – It's been a little something going on these last couple of years.
Well, you know, the similarities, you know, when I was growing up, they had Tom Landry and Roger Staubach and mm-hmm. Harvey Martin, Too Tall Jones, Randy White, all these great players, and they had star qualities all over them. And then Coach Ditka came from Dallas, so he wanted to represent the Chicago Bears with great force in front of Cowboys. And the first time we went to Dallas, we beat him 44-0. So that's what I was asking about you, because you do carry, you know, I grew up a Chicago Bears fan because I grew up here my whole life. And when you get the opportunity to play against the star on the for the first time, it's got to be exciting just because of growing up around it.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. I mean, all my friends and family back home, you know, knew.
National TV, only game on.
Yeah, definitely. They knew I was a Cowboys fan and, you know, always excited to watch those guys.
Who was your guy when you were a young kid, a young pup watching the Cowboys?
Young pup, I'd probably say it had to be, it's more of a Roy Williams and Deion Sanders guy.
Yeah. Really?
Roy Williams and Deion Sanders.
Woodson, a good defensive back. I mean, they've had a lot of quality players in Dallas come through the years. Is anybody from your neighborhood, anybody that you grew up with make it to the NFL or Major League Baseball anywhere that was the name of inspiration from your neighborhood?
Come to mind, nah.
So now you are.
Yeah, it hasn't been, you know, anybody that's reached, you know, the professional level as far as, you know, expanding their career. College. A few different places, but, you know, the professional level on the biggest stage with a, you know, nice little name on your back, this hasn't been,
but
you know,
now,
too many people.
In the back of your head, you're going to take the field Thursday night against the Dallas Cowboys. People from your neighborhood are going to be watching it, and your name is the most inspirational name in your neighborhood. It's neat, though. It carries a lot of weight, and it should put the pressure on you that you like to have.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be an exciting game for the simple fact, you know, playing for the Chicago Bears, going against, you know, a good Dallas team, playing at home against Soldier Field. Me playing against, you know, I guess roughly one of my favorite teams all time. And, you know, just all my friends and family, they're probably going to be rooting for the Cowboys and all, but at the same time, they're going to be rooting for, you know, me and my side of the ball, just for me to have good success and, you know, just go out there and compete, have fun. So it's going to be a lot. Try not to put a lot of pressure on my back and just go out there and have fun. But it's going to be a tough challenge.
When you get your interception, stop and celebrate with your teammates right on the spot, all right?
Definitely. I have to.
But run it back and go to the end zone.
Well, I'm just saying.
After you score a touchdown.
Yeah, all right. There you go.
After you score a touchdown, definitely, yeah.
Now, this might be the coldest game that you will have ever played in your career.
Might be.
See, that's something that you can't replicate down in Texas. I mean, they should give you credit just for that.
They got better warm weather gear here.
I mean, the coldest game I've attended was last year against Dallas.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That was cold.
That was a cold game.
Ridiculous. So fact that it won't be that cold this year gives me a little relief.
A little breathing room.
That is a happy DeMontre Hurst with us here on Bears All Access. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, hey, I want to find out, what are these players-only meetings like, especially when you're one of the younger guys? Do you say anything, or do you just sit back there and listen? We'll find
out
next.
Can't players only.
Well, let's find out. This is Bears All Access. We have the All Access Pass, don't we, Tom?
Players only and Zach.
Yeah, we're back next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This Thursday's game is brought to you by Dr. Pepper, the official soft drink of the Chicago Bears. The first 40,000 fans to enter Soldier Field will receive a Bears Dr. Pepper rally towel. Dr. Pepper, always one of a kind. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zaidman, joined by Bears cornerback. He's really a nickelback. He's a jack of all trades, if you will, on the Bears defense, DeMontre Hurst. And we've been talking about a lot of different things. He's from Oklahoma, played big-time college football, and has been getting an opportunity to get extended.
Wave me off when I told him I was from Notre Dame.
He did.
Hey, DeMontre, I'm Tom Thayer from Notre Dame.
Yeah. But you know why he's got, and this was before the show, I think he's got a very bad taste in his mouth when it comes to Notre Dame, because when you were a player, Notre Dame came in, and this was, I think, Brian Kelly's first really big win with the Irish, right? They came down to your neck of the woods, mm-hmm. on your field.
Yes, they
and
did.
Beat you guys.
Yes,
that was on
they
the
did.
When they rolled to the national championship game that season, right?
Yes. It was bitter taste in my mouth. It was a big game, probably one of the biggest games. And OU history at home, we don't get a lot of, you know, big top 10 games like that. But they came in, I think they were number two or so like that. I think we were number seven. So it was a big battle, and, you know, they came in, took care of business. But definitely put a sour taste in our mouth. We didn't want to lose at home. Very, very rarely we lose at home. But, you know, they came in, took care of business, and, you know.
Yeah, because usually the big games there are conference games.
Right.
Not out of conference where you got a marquee school that comes in and says, yeah, we'll take on Oklahoma at their place. And that's why it wasn't personal, Tom. It was just.
I know. You know what? It's weird because when I was a kid growing up, there was so much respect for Oklahoma because they had that long winning record and they were like the powerhouse of all runners and offensive linemen and everything. So when you do see the schedule so far in advance and you saw Oklahoma on the schedules, I think a lot of Notre Dame fans said, wow, this is going to be an interesting game to see because they never get a chance to play Oklahoma during the regular season.
Yeah, it was just driving into the stadium. It was a lot of tailgating, and, you know, it was a lot of Notre Dame fans there. They travel, and we had a lot more fans than expected. So it was, you probably say, roughly almost 100,000 just in the area, you know, just for their game. Saturday night game, prime time, definitely. So it was a big game, you know, with Manti Te'o and, you know, Everest Golston being, you know, elite players on their team. We had Landry Jones and, you know, just, you know, good offense. So it was a good game, but, you know, they came out on top.
Man, I can't even imagine what that atmosphere is like. But it prepares you for this, to go through a game like that, right, to play in the NFL, because you have so many fans, the spotlight's on you, you're on national television, and the pressure where if you lose a game like that, your ability to perhaps compete for championships over. One game, you lose one game in college, that's it.
Well, it's weird, you know, you play against the smaller crowds in the NFL than you did in college. But in college, you go right back to the college campus and you see all your peers. In the professional ranks, you go out amongst your peers and just in the workforce and everything. So it's different walking onto a campus or walking out into malls and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely, you know, after the game, you actually going to see the guys that were at the game, you know, maybe out or the next day just walking around the campus or whatever. But definitely in NFL, it's like, you know, you work on Sunday, you're back with the team on Monday, and, you know, those fans that you saw at the game, you probably won't see them until another home game.
Yeah, you're
if they're
in
sitting
cocoon,
in the same
right.
seats.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so it's definitely a little different, but, you know, the atmosphere is almost similar.
You go to class the next day, right? Not the next day, but you go to class on Monday, and all of a sudden, you know, the students next to you, to your right or left, are giving you the treatment because of a loss.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They love us. They try not to bash on us too much right in front of our face, but behind our back, behind our backs, they're probably grillers. But they'll definitely soak it up and, you know, try to prepare us later on for the next game.
Our guest is Demontre Hurst. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by H.H. Gregg Appliances, Electronics, Furniture. And Demontre is the Bears' nickelback, and he's visiting us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. All right, so the defense has begun meeting, just the players to kind of watch tape together and just make sure everyone's on the same page, because communication is such a big deal when you play the defense that the Bears play. What have you learned in these meetings? Have you said anything, or do you just sit there taking notes?
In all honesty, I really just sit there. I don't say nothing. I kind of feel the presence of, you know, the leaders that's in there. They give out the plays, and we just kind of go over. What to look for, the keys, just the communication part of it. So I don't say, not just sit back. If I'm in, I say my little thing or whatever. But just listen to them. Just listen to them and see how they, you know, how they diagnose the play, what they're looking for. Just some few little tips, kind of to get a whole defense and just kind of feel their presence of, you know, each leader in each position, kind of speak up and, you know, let everybody know that. We're definitely going to be in this position to make the play. So,
you know, you think of a guy like Jonathan Bostic and a guy like Lance Briggs. Lance is gone, you know, had the makings of a Hall of Fame career. And now you have a guy like Bostic who could step into his place like all players do in the NFL, as they have the opportunity to step in. The way you've gotten to know Jonathan Bostic and his acceptance of his new role, how do you think things will come out for him? And does he have the verbal ability to say the commands in the huddle that maybe Lance would or will in the future?
I believe, you know, JB, he's really understanding the defense more, being with Lance Briggs and guys like DJ that played in the league, you know, a couple of years, almost 10, 10, 11 years. And just getting the feel for different run plays. And, you know, he's really understanding the whole defense with, you know, you got a guy like Ryan Mundy and, you know, Tim Jennings to kind of give him the backside of the defense. So he's becoming more vocal. He's stepping up, being a leader that he needs to be. You know, he's calling out the plays, really understanding what's going on. So he's feeding his the young group of linebackers that he has, you know, with me also. So we're all still learning. And, you know, I'm just really, you know, picking up after him, understand what he sees. And we, you know, just try to do our best with communication during the huddle.
I want to find out who the loudest guy in the room is. We'll do that next with DeMontre Hurst. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Coach's Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, airs Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows alongside Championship Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabeman. DeMontre Hurst, the Bears nickelback, joins us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. You know, we were talking before the commercial about the meetings that the Bears players have, watching tape, kind of learning the assignments of everyone else so the defense works in tandem. And it's important because, you know, you always talk about the front line and everything flows off of them, but you guys on the back end of the defense can really help what those guys do.
Definitely. We know, you know, we got four defensive linemen, they got five, so it's going to be a tough task just getting to the quarterback. But those guys are relentless. They're going to keep working. But our coaches always say rush and coverage works together. So the rush depends on us, and we depend on the rush. So if everybody just, you know, do their job relentless, and, you know, if the rush needs, you know, a little bit more time, we as the back end have to, you know, give them that time because we, you know, we trust them that they're going to, you know, get there. So the quicker the rush get there, you know, the easier it makes our job. But the longer we can hold it off, and it gives the rush, you know, just a little bit more time to keep working and, you know, just be relentless and get there.
You know, DeMontre, the luxury of the technology you have at a professional level, do you only study yourself in a slot or in the defensive terms, or do you look at the cornerbacks, or how do you study? Because, you know, you got to be multi-talented at your position. And you might have to watch a linebacker because you're going to play at a linebacker depth. You might have to watch a safety. You might have to watch a corner. So how do you study with the NFL's technology?
I definitely take advantage of, you know, at least trying to get a piece of every single person that's on the field, whether it's the corner. Sometimes I do corner techniques, the safety, just their depth and how it's easy to see things from their end. And even a linebacker, even when we're in base and, you know, base formation with Shea, you know, we pretty much play the same position. He's just in a bigger package than me. So we kind of have the same technique. So, you know, I also watch him just from the base technique just to kind of get a feel for, you know, what they like to do and things like that.
If you were in a base defense, where would you play? I'm saying not a nickel defense. There's not a fifth defensive back. You're either a right or left corner or a safety. Where is DeMontre Hurst going to play?
Well, definitely corner.
Which one?
Probably left. Left okay. Corner. I've been in that position throughout my whole football career. You know, I'm comfortable. Got a feel for, you know, the different techniques and learned so much, you know, throughout high school and college, different techniques that I can use to, you know, help my ability. So, definitely corner would be, you know, probably my strongest point.
I think as Bears fans, because we watched Charles Tillman and he took the big guy and then Tim Jennings floated all around the field. And I don't know, do cornerbacks, like offensive linemen, you can be a right side and not be so great on the left or vice versa. Is that similar features that cornerbacks have? You feel comfortable at one side, but maybe a little less comfortable because of balance or technique on the other?
You can get a feel for, you know, being on one side only for a long time and forget, you know, how to break off on the
right.
Other foot on the other side. So you can be so strong, you know, breaking off on your right foot, but you go to the other side, you can't break off your left foot as much. So it's a big difference. You know, you have to get a feel for, you know, how to work both sides, and it's good to be versatile because you never know which side you could be on. If, you know, coach want to put you on match you up with this guy, but he's on the other side that you're not strong on. So it's good to, you know, get a good feel for.
Yeah, look at Kyle Fuller last week when he was shadowing Calvin Johnson all over the field. And, you know, sometimes you have to switch up. So right before we go to the commercial break here, who's the loudest guy in that Bears meeting room with the players?
Willie Young.
Willie Young is a loudmouth. I will agree to that. The time Lance was in there, he was very loud. You know, he's a very vocal person. Would just yell out, you know, the close call just to be absurd with it. But he's doing it just to let everybody know that's how he is on the field. He's going to let everybody know where the close call is, get lined up, and let's get ready to play. So Willie Young is definitely, you know, loud, but I got to give it to Lance. definitely.
We'll be back. We'll be back and break down what the Bears have to face tomorrow in the Cowboys next on Bears All Access with Demontre Hurst on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW, Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. You know, Lance Briggs going on IR, so his season is done. Maybe his Bears career is over. And what a career it was, man. 12 years with the Bears, 7 Pro Bowls. He'll go down as one of the most decorated linebackers in the history of this franchise. And you think of all the great linebackers, Tom, in the history of this franchise. That says something.
Oh, my gosh. You know, first of all, him being lucky enough to be able to play alongside Brian Urlacher for all those years, having a teammate like that and all the other linebackers they were able to include. But then at the end of your career, if you left a big enough footprint where people still remember you, and people are going to remember Lance for a long time, they're going to remember Charles Tillman for a long time, and that's because of their greatness and the way they performed as a professional and how they got better every year.
And you know what? You have to sit in those meetings with Lance Briggs talking, and even on the field when he was chirping. And I use the word chirping because the voice a little bit high when Lance is yelling out the plays, right?
Yeah, definitely. He's definitely one of those guys that try to get the, you know, get the message across. And if he's low, he's gonna yell it to where everybody in the stadium will try to hear it. And it's not to be funny, but it's just to you know, let him know that he's gonna be yelling that loud. And you know, if he says close left, go to your spot and get lined up. I mean, he's ready to play once he closes. He's ready to ball.
So now when the defensive signals are called inside the defensive huddle, who's calling them?
JB, John Bostic.
John Bostic's going to be calling the defenses now, and that's something that hopefully he'll have for a long time. Does he get the message out clear and everybody paying attention to him?
Yeah. He definitely gets the message out clear. You know, we got a lot of people got in different places, so you might have to say it a few times. He doesn't talk that loud, so he had to say it a few times so everybody get lined up. But he's definitely the play calling, so he'll have that for the probably the remainder of the season.
Man, when you guys are on the field, it'll be loud tomorrow at Soldier Field. Primetime game against the Cowboys, two of the marquee franchises in the NFL. Demontre, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck tomorrow against Dallas.
Thank you.
For Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabeman. Greg Miller, our executive producer, and Paul Zarango, help us blast through the speakers of your radio. So long, everybody. Thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Subway, United, Verizon, and Xfinity.